It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Instagram is marketed as a place for positivity filled with pretty photos, cute dogs, and inspirational quotes. But our guest says all this positivity might actually be making users unhappy. First, the midterm elections are just 3 weeks from today. Governor Walker and his Democratic opponent, State Superintendent Tony Evers, are unveiling some policy promises in the run-up to Election Day. They center on school funding levels and income tax relief. Walker and Evers are in a statistical tie, according to the latest Marquette University Law School poll, as they head into their first debate this Friday in Madison. Another poll has Evers with the lead. So how much of an effect will these proposals have on voters? Amber Wachowski is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Democracy Lab. Amber, welcome to Central Time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we dig into the policy proposals from Governor Walker and Superintendent Evers, with the Democrat talking about wanting to do tax cuts, with the governor, the Republican, wanting to restore some education funding, are these candidates trying to reach over and get some independence here as opposed to messages directed at their own bases?
I think that's right. I think if you look at recent polling data, and this isn't new, this is a longstanding trend, Republican candidates do well amongst Republican voters. Democratic candidates do well amongst Democratic voters. And so although I would say that this election is very much going to be a turnout election, so Republicans and Democrats are going to do everything that they can to get their supporters out, at the margins, reaching out and being able to persuade some independent voters, it could be the key in this election.
All right, that's the politics a little bit. Let's look at some of the policies they're talking about now. Governor Walker said yesterday, if he's reelected, he'll restore this state commitment to funding schools to 2/3 of their total costs. Superintendent Evers had proposed the same thing back in the summer. There's a long-running, kind of complicated policy issue in the state. Can you talk about the importance of it?
Sure. Well, when we look at the last, you know, the first two terms of Walker, and of course Walker also faced the recall election, he ran in a different climate. If you look back at polling, you know, several years ago, the climate in the state was, you know, Wisconsinites were not so concerned about the spending side. They were interested in the tax cut side. Fast forward a few years, and over the last year of polling here in the state, what we're seeing is that Wisconsinites are concerned about kind of these basic services and whether or not the funding is there to support schools, to provide infrastructure improvements, and the like. And so I think what we are seeing from Governor Walker in particular is this recognition that this is a slightly different political climate that he's looking at in this re-election fight. Of course, if you also look back in the previous elections, he ran in years that were pretty good for Republican candidates nationwide. What we're seeing this year, if you look at the special elections and so on, that this could be shaping up to be a good year for Democrats nationwide, but also in Wisconsin. So I think what you're seeing from Governor Walker is some calculation about what are the messages that are going to resonate with enough voters to carry him through on Election Day.
Right. In surveys from your Marquette University colleagues over at the law school, the Marquette Law School poll, some of their questions have asked about, do you prioritize tax cuts or spending on things like education? And it does seem like there's been a shift there, exactly what you were saying, toward less people wanting the tax cuts, more people wanting that investment.
That's exactly right. And so I think what you're seeing from both candidates is a responsiveness to that shift in public sentiment.
So we're seeing both candidates say, okay, 2/3 funding. That would cost money, though, to do that. Are they talking about where Walker or Evers talking about exactly where the money comes from to bring the state back up to that 2/3 commitment, the state paying for 2/3 of school costs?
That's right. I think if you look at Walker's proposal, we're not seeing many details at this particular point about where the funding is going to come from. So this is a big question kind of as he goes forward on the campaign trail. I'm sure he's going to face lots of those sorts of questions. For Tony Evers, you know, for his kind of proposals, everything from education and infrastructure, healthcare, and so on, you have seen some details there looking at kind of a balancing of tax policy in order to increase spending in certain areas. So he's talked about raising taxes, or removing, I guess, kind of tax breaks for manufacturers and agriculture tax credit in the state, looking at perhaps increasing taxes on high-end earners, high-income earners. There's been some discussion about, is the gas tax in the mix or not? We've seen it a bit more on the where might revenue come from for the proposals on Evers' side, less so on Walker's side, though I anticipate that these are the sorts of questions that he'll be asked in the coming weeks.
Talking to Amber Wachowski from Marquette University, Associate Professor of Political Science there and Director of the Marquette Democracy Lab, looking at the latest messages from the big party candidates in the race for governor. Amber, staying with taxes, Governor Walker all along has been very much held the line in any kind of tax increase, especially leading up to his presidential campaign. Superintendent Evers, more of a mixed message, saying, as you were just outlining there, ending those tax breaks for higher end earners, that industrial and agriculture credit, but also saying he wants to cut income tax for middle income earners. How do you think that those two messages square with voters?
Yeah, I mean, this kind of tax message from Evers' side, much more kind of, you know, both Evers and Walker in their tax proposal are going to have redistributive effects, you know, where the bulk of the benefits go to up and down the income ladder. I think from Evers' perspective, that message of a middle-class tax cut, increasing taxes on top-end earners, though that tends to be a kind of a tax mix or policy that tends to draw pretty broad support from voters, both if you look at national polls as well as some polling kind of state by state. Now, whether or not that's going to be enough to, you know, convince independent voters against kind of Walker's campaign message, which is that things are going well, that the state economy is on the uptick, unemployment is down, wages are starting to come up. Those are going to be kind of the competing messages from Evers' side, you know, making the message that these years with Walker have not done enough, that the prosperity has not been broadly shared. And certainly from Walker's perspective, it's going to be, this is going back to, you know, the kind of tax and spend Democrats and an undoing of all the policies that are putting the state in a more competitive position. So those are the two competing messages coming out from both camps. Again, we're in a very polarized time where if you even just look at public opinion polling on views of the economy, it's remarkable. You almost saw this overnight shift where following Trump's election, where Republicans all of a sudden, you know, under Obama, were pretty sour on the economy, under Trump are saying the economy looks great. And it nearly overnight, same sort of shift with Democrats. So you've got some pretty dug-in partisans on both sides. And so trying to reach out to those independent voters is tricky. And it's also tricky in a midterm election year, where we would expect that kind of the diehard partisans, those who are very politically engaged, they're mobilized. They will turn out to vote in a few weeks. And so you've got both the trying to persuade independent voters who maybe haven't not made up their mind, not only on the vote choice, which candidate to support, but you're also trying to mobilize and get them to turn out to the polls on Election Day.
One thing that strikes me with this tone of partisanship in those Marquette Law School polls, we see a Democrat, Tammy Baldwin, having a substantial lead over Republican Leah Vukmir in the Senate polls, but neck and neck in the most recent one for Governor Walker and Superintendent Evers, which suggests, if I'm doing the math right, there's some people who are going to vote for a Democrat in one race and maybe for a Republican in another. Those people still exist, it sounds like?
They certainly do. They are a smaller slice of the Wisconsin electorate in terms of the split ticket voters, but they do exist. And I think what you see there is, you know, both Baldwin and Walker are the incumbents. And incumbents do tend to have a bit of an incumbency advantage, particularly if the economic kind of climate is right. We aren't, you know, the economy statewide on some metrics is looking stronger. And so that tends to be an environment where incumbents have a bit of an advantage. And so I think with the polling there, seeing both Tammy Baldwin up And in the latest poll, I think Walker was up maybe by a point, but really it's a statistical tie. It's a dead heat. You know, you might have both candidates benefiting a little bit from an incumbency advantage, and I would expect that you will have some crossover voters, some voters who are going to be, or I should say split-ticket voters, come Election Day.
As we wrap up, if I'm a candidate and I drop a message about tax cuts or school funding inside a month till Election Day, is that too late? Is there still time to move the needle?
You know, that's a great question. Well, I'll be able to say more about that after Election Day. You know, given what we'll see in terms of turnout, I think that the slice of the electorate to try to persuade to mobilize is smaller. But these elections can turn on the margins, right? It can be a very, very close race. And so these sorts of messages, we do know that less partisan voters are more likely to tune in later in the election cycle. And so kind of a month out from the election day is when many of these voters are kind of paying attention, picking up on some of the campaign messages. But the crucial point is, are they going to turn out and vote? And so you've got this kind of 1-2 punch, both persuading as well as mobilizing and getting them to the polls. It's easier on for Republicans to kind of mobilize their base. Republican voters tend to skew older, more less kind of residential instability. It tends to kind of promote higher rates of turnout in midterm election years. So sometimes Republican candidates can be benefited in midterm races, but this is also, as Walker had kind of pointed out earlier in the year, you know, we might be looking at a blue wave in Wisconsin, and there's a lot of enthusiasm on the Democratic side. And so trying to expand and broaden the electorate, I think, is a real challenge. And I think it's going to be a particular challenge for Tony Evers. I think this is going to be, he's going to need turnout on his side.
Amber, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks very much for having me.
Amber Wachowski is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Democracy Lab. We talked to her about the latest proposals for funding schools and cutting taxes in the race for governor.